I have the opportunity to speak a little bit about our serve trip from this past summer. And the passage that I chose is one of the passages that we looked at while we were on serve, and it's actually the calling of Jesus' disciples. And it's a passage that maybe we've heard many times before, but today we want to look at it from a different perspective. So we'll be reading from Mark 1, 16 to 20. Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. I am not the Messiah. And I'm going to guess that I'm not going to ruin a lot of your own life stories by telling each of you that you are also not the Messiah. This past summer, a group of us traveled down to Washington, D.C. as part of Community Church's Serve Mission Team, 7 youth and 2 adults. And while we were there, one of the most common tasks we were asked to do was to serve at homeless shelters, helping to prepare meals, clean beds, clean laundry, pull weeds, basically whatever they asked us to do. And while we were there, the speaker talked to us the first night and gave us one clear point that we were supposed to take with us throughout the week. You are not the Messiah. But then she followed it up with an equally important point. But you can show others who is. Our passage today is a very interesting one, and like I said earlier, we want to look at it from a different perspective. We get to see how Jesus himself calls his first disciples. And if you think about what happened during the biblical times when it came to following a rabbi, this is a pretty amazing story. And Pastor Rob Bell kind of breaks it down the best. When you were a young Jewish boy at the time of Jesus, you were brought up with biblical teachings. And part of your biblical teachings meant that by the age of 10, you were to have memorized the Pentateuch, which was the first 5 books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So by the age of 10, you've got this much of the Bible memorized. Now, I don't know how memorization is for you, but when I was a kid, I always tried to ask for "Jesus wept" as my memorized passage. But by the age of 10, these young boys were studying so hard that they had that memorized. Now, I have the Boys Club and Gems Bible there, and if you were to break down the pages, that's 255 pages memorized. At the age of 10, what would happen is you were then chosen. You were either not too good or you were pretty good. So if you went into the not too good line, you basically, whatever your dad did for a living, that became your new profession. You would go join him. If he was a carpenter, you would become a carpenter, whatever. But if you were good enough, you were chosen to continue your biblical studies. So now, by the age of 10 to 13, you were asked to memorize the complete Torah, which is the Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi. So once again, if I break open my Bible, we're talking 1,117 pages of memorization by the time you're 13 years old. And then there was another choice. Once you got there, they weeded a few more out. Once again, they figured, okay, well, you're actually really good. You became the best of the best. If you weren't that good, you were once again asked to become a shepherd, if that's what your dad did. Maybe your dad was a carpenter, you'd become a carpenter. Maybe he was a farmer, a blacksmith, whatever he did, that's what you became. Which makes this story interesting when we look at Jesus, because Jesus came, and we learn that Jesus called. Who did Jesus call? Fishermen. He didn't call the best of the best. When Jesus came, he didn't go to the temple and say, I want you three who have memorized the Torah perfectly to come follow me. No, he chose fishermen. He chose men that were already told they weren't good enough to be leaders in the church. He chose these fishermen to be his followers. Jesus didn't care. Jesus, the ultimate rabbi, chose these men to become his chosen followers. Now, if we look at it from the fisherman's perspective, we get an entirely different viewpoint. When you were a fisherman, that was your livelihood, that was your family, that was who you were. So if you're there fishing, you're casting out nets, some strange guy, if we go with our, you know, our Sunday school view of Jesus, he's got this big long beard, he's maybe wearing some dirty sandals, he's got a robe, and he comes up and he says, you know, I want you to follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And we got these guys, and they risked and gave up everything to do that. They gave up their jobs. They gave up their families. If they were married, they left their wives. They left security. They left money to follow this complete stranger that they had never met before. I pictured myself going down, like maybe videoing it for the service, going down Toronto with a van and stopping beside people and asking people to come on in and follow me to see what would happen, just to give you a parallel. Maybe wear some clown mask makeup. But verse 18 really laid it out. When in verse 18 we read, immediately they dropped their nets to follow him. While we were on serve, we were reminded that we all need to risk something in our lives to follow Jesus. Going into Washington, D.C., we were asked to listen to the stories of the people that we met. We were sometimes asked to sit across the table from someone that didn't really look like us, someone that didn't act like us, definitely sometimes someone that didn't smell like us. And we were asked to sit and share who Jesus was. Not to be the Messiah, but to help them see who the true Messiah was. And through this, through these experiences, we learned that the Messiah is in all the broken places. So this brings up a challenge, or in sermonese talk, application. What are we willing to risk in our own lives? What are we currently placing above God in our everyday lives? And are we willing to be like the fishermen and drop everything to make Jesus the priority? Far too often, we seem to want something from Jesus, don't we? We'll pray to Jesus and we'll ask Jesus, you know, help me with this, or give me this, or bless me with this. But far too often, we don't really want Jesus. See, there's a difference between asking Jesus for something or wanting Jesus to answer our prayers and wanting Jesus in our lives. Sometimes when it comes down to us making some sort of a sacrifice or a risk, we decide, hey, maybe this isn't worth it after all. We expect rewards or good behavior for our deeds, but are we always willing to lay down our own selves for the cause of Jesus? God chose us as a serve team to go. We had a strong 9. We had a great time. I even made them stop at a garage sale on the way home. because I wanted to try to find a Donald Trump sign that I could buy, because they don't make them in Canada. And I know we had a great time, and I know most of them are here, but I want to break something very delicate to those that went on serve. You guys were not the best of the best. None of us were. But you guys gave up a week of your summer. You could have stayed at home and played video games or worked or made money or rested or did whatever you want. But you guys gave up a week of your summer so that we could go down and show strangers who God is. You woke up sometimes at 5 in the morning to go out and help make breakfast for a homeless shelter. You pulled weeds in the sweltering heat to make a shelter look like a home. One of you, who was going to tell this story but lost his voice, so you'll have to ask him in a couple of weeks, was in a van that broke down, not sure what to do because their leader had never been on serve before. So they just got out of their van and start handing out water bottles to everyone around them and gave people cold water on a hot day. Just as Jesus called his disciples, he continues to call each of us here every day, not just the serve team, everyone here, to become fishers of men. God has blessed everyone here with a variety of spiritual gifts, and the Holy Spirit gives gifts as needed and is continually developing gifts inside of each one of you. Are you leaving them on a shelf like a trophy for you to look at when you're at home? Or maybe you don't think you're good enough. Maybe you don't think your gifts matter. We're going to watch a little video, and then I'm going to close off. Just remember, God used fishermen when he could have used biblical scholars. God can use each and every single one of us. And it can be as simple as just maybe affirming someone else's gift. Maybe recognizing that Bus has the gift of carpentry and you thank him for that. Or Angela has the gift of administration and we thank her for that. What is your gift? And are you willing to use it to further the work of God? Take a moment this week to encourage someone to use a gift and find a new way to use your gift to show exactly who the Messiah is. Through his disciples, Jesus built a worldwide movement that expanded across the globe, and he calls on us to continue that movement. I am not the Messiah. None of you are the Messiah. But together we can show who the Messiah is. Amen.
As we gather to pray together, I'm thankful that God calls each of us to serve him. And just want to make the announcement, as we normally do for people that are getting married by bands, that Josh Valkenburg and Cassandra Van Rijn have signified their desire to be married. If there are no lawful objections, the wedding will take place on October the 29th. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you call us, as broken and as wounded as we are, to follow you in mission. And we thank you that as you do that, Lord, you fulfill your plan for us and for your church. And just as you called those fishermen, You're calling us this morning to join you in mission. And as Pastor Jack has shared this morning, Lord, I pray that we would discover that gift. And that, Lord, when we discover that gift, we would trust and we would be obedient and we would follow, knowing that you don't give gifts and do nothing with them like that trophy. But, Lord, that you will take that gift and you will turn it into something beautiful for you. And so, Lord, this morning we give you ourselves, we give you our gifts. And, Lord, we just pray that you would use them to do amazing and wonderful things. And we thank you that we get to engage, Lord, in your world. And, Lord, we've been asked this morning to pray for Tim, Lord, who's dealing with some devastating effects after coming back from Afghanistan. Lord, we think not only of him, but, Lord, we think of all of our military, Lord, who serve not only here, but around the world. Lord, we just pray that you would surround them, that you would strengthen them, and that you would surround their families. And that, Lord, as they stand for freedom and for peace, we just pray that you would help our military, Lord, not only keep us glorious and free, but, Lord, as they walk with other nations, that they too would experience not only political freedom, but religious freedom. Lord, we pray for your church. We pray for us as Community Christian Reformed Church here in Richmond Hill. We pray that we'd be a vibrant presence, not only here in this community, but around the world, together as we join the broader Church of Jesus Christ, putting our gifts together and sharing that Jesus Christ is Lord, that many would hear, that many would come to faith and to hear of your amazing grace. Lord, thank you for loving us. And so this morning, as we think of that, we pray this morning that we would be challenged to look at the gifts that you've given us and to challenge us this week to step out in faith and to follow you in mission. Lord, thanks for loving us. Thanks for gifting us. And thank you in advance to what you are going to do in us and through us. In your name we pray. Amen.